Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, May the 31st, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have brought us to this day, that we may continue our study of your word, and to see the fulfillment of the prophecies that you have given us. We ask that you would give us the strength necessary to prepare for the time to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'd like to share with you an article from the Guardian newspaper, published on the 18th of January, 2019. The writer of the article is David Taylor. And as I've said before, I'm usually very blown away by the fact that they are journalists and authors and people who have no real connection with churches, but who are seeing the changes that are taking place around us day by day. The title of his article is How Trump Has Changed America in 2 Years. The source is the Guardian newspaper, the Guardian website. The date of the publication is the 18th of January, 2019. The author's name is David Taylor, and the title is How Trump Has Changed America in 2 Years. Here's the article. The first way that he has it here, the first way that David Taylor is saying that Trump has changed America is in foreign policy. So here we go. If there has been one defining trait in the foreign policy of the Trump era, it is confusion, not only in the frequent gaps between the paths taken by the president and his own administration, but also in the morass of contradictions and U-turns in his own impulses. Trump has insisted on bringing back U.S. troops from Syria and Afghanistan and has at times shocked his advisors with a bellicosity toward Iran in particular that risks starting new wars. While demonizing the government in Tehran, Trump has decided not to directly contest Iranian influence in Syria with U.S. troops. He threatened fire and fury against North Korea, but has since claimed to have fallen in love with Kim Jong-un, although the young dictator has yet to show any inclination to dismantle his nuclear arsenal. He's reluctant to criticize Vladimir Putin, boosting suspicions that he's under the sway of the Kremlin, but his administration has arguably taken a tougher line against Russia than its predecessor, piling on more sanctions and supplying lethal weaponry to Ukraine. There are some themes, however, that make foreign policy in the age of Trump quite different in character from any previous administration. One of them is the personalization of relations with foreign governments. Trump evidently trusts his gut instincts more than the advice of the U.S. foreign policy and security establishment, and those instincts have drawn him toward autocrats and away from traditional democratic allies, whom he often views as freeloaders, taking advantage of U.S. might. Another constant in the Trumpian approach to the world is the drive to erase the legacy of Barack Obama and his other predecessors. Almost everything Obama was for, Trump has been overwhelmingly against, from the 2015 nuclear deal with Iran to trade deals in the Pacific or with Europe or the Paris Climate Accord. The distrust of multilateral agreements and institutions is a third persistent theme. Trump's template for making deals is two powerful men facing off across a table. Round tables with a variety of voices frustrate him, forcing him to listen to foreigners with less power or with different points of view. He chose John Bolton as National Security Advisor, primarily to build a bonfire of U.S. international obligations. Trump has yet to be tested by an international crisis not of his own making. In the 2 years to come, we will see whether his and the world's luck will continue to hold. The next way in which he's changed America is the economy. This is the greatest economy in the history of our country, Donald Trump told reporters last year. 2 years into his presidency, he has plenty to brag about, but also some big problems. many of his own making. Unemployment is close to levels unseen since the first moon landing. It ticked up last month, but even that rise came as more workers came off the sidelines and started looking for work. So far, about 5 million jobs have been created under Trump. It is pretty dubious to claim presidents create jobs, but they all take the credit when things are good. Unsurprisingly, Trump is no exception. The current recovery rate began under the previous president, Barack Obama. Even with the unarguably impressive improvements under Trump, he has a way to go before he can fulfill his promise of being the greatest jobs president that God ever created. Bill Clinton holds the record for largest numeric increase in the workforce, 23 million jobs over his two terms. Obama, who was elected in the teeth of the worst recession in living memory, added 10 million jobs over his two terms. Trump is off to a great start, but it's just that. The U.S. has experienced 99 months of consecutive job growth, and a slowdown seems inevitable. Trump does, however, already have won over on Obama. Wage growth is finally picking up a bit after last year of stagnation. In other areas, Trump's economic record is more discordant. Trump's single biggest policy achievement is the $1.5 trillion tax cut he pushed through in November 2017, slammed by critics on the left and right as a giveaway for corporations and the 1% it helped Democrats win in November's midterm elections. And then, of course, there's Trump's other most notable economic policy, trade wars. Trump has effectively torn up decades of trade agreements and antagonized his largest trading partners. The impact of the rancor he has sown is still being assessed, but it has already triggered dramatic sell-offs on stock markets and may have contributed to a slowdown in the Chinese economy. Apple issued its first profits warning since 2002 earlier this month, blaming slowing business in China. There will be more warnings to come. Trump's economic populism helped get him elected. Whether he gets a second term will probably depend on whether he can keep the promises he made in the first, or whether the moves he made in the last 2 years come back to haunt him. Then there's the change in the judiciary. Call it Operation Patriarchy. Old white men are fighting a losing battle against changing demographics in the United States. But the 72-year-old president and 76-year-old Senate leader Mitch McConnell are doing their utmost to safeguard the supremacy of white men in American courts. For 2 years, they have been packing the courts with predominantly white male conservative judges whose lifetime appointments will mean the federal benches look a lot less like the country they preside over. That may sound like business as usual for a party in power, but it is actually the product of McConnell's long-term strategy. He blocked dozens of Obama's nominees for the federal courts by refusing to hold Senate votes, gambling that in 2016 a Republican might win the presidency and present a roster of more conservative judges. After the 2016 death of the Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, McConnell used his control of the Senate to keep the seat vacant for 293 days by refusing a hearing for Obama's nominee, Merrick Garland. For white evangelical Christians, a vacant seat on the Supreme Court was the most compelling reason to vote for Trump. The thrice married alleged serial adulterer who boasted of sexually interfering with women. After winning the presidency, Trump nominated a conservative in Neil Gorsuch. In 2018, Brett Kavanaugh's Supreme Court nomination was forced through after a vitriolic and incomplete examination of past sexual assault allegations, which he denied. Trump and McConnell delivered a conservative majority on the court, which could now last decades, and gives hopes of overturning the 1973 Roe versus Wade decision, which enshrined the right to abortion. McConnell and Trump have also been moving rapidly to shift the appeal and district courts to the right. So far, 85 judges have been appointed by Trump, 2 to the Supreme Court, 30 to the U.S. Courts of Appeal, and 53 to district courts. This is a faster pace than Obama, who in 8 years appointed 2 Supreme Court justices, 55 appeals judges, and 268 district judges. Trump has 70 more nominations in the pipeline, which can be approved by a simple majority vote in the Senate, where Republicans hold a 53-47 advantage. Dominated by white men, many under 50, Trump's appointments are already the least diverse crop of new judges for a generation. The House, newly controlled by the Democrats, under the leadership of Nancy Pelosi, can stop Republican legislation, but Democrats on Capitol Hill are helpless against Trump's determination to install as many judges as possible. And then there is the change in the environment. Trump's stewardship of the environment is perhaps best known for the president's dismissal of climate change as a Chinese hoax, or the allegations of flamboyant levels of corruption by Scott Pruitt and Ryan Zinke, the now former heads of the Environmental Protection Agency and Interior Department, respectively. But it's the more mundane unspooling of arcane regulations by the administration that is most likely to leave a tangible mark on the health of Americans and the world around them. This work is plodding tenaciously forward. For example, during this period between Christmas and the New Year, the EPA decided that rules curbing emissions of mercury linked to neurological disorders, heart and lung problems, and compromised immune systems are too onerous on coal plants and should be scrapped. The proposed reversal is just the latest in a list of about 80 environmental rules either dismantled or slated for abolition by the Trump administration. They include the destruction of the main Obama-era policy to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from energy, the halting of a planned ban of a pesticide deemed harmful to infants, development, and a weakening of fuel efficiency for cars. The new vehicles regime set up a bitter fight with California, which has stricter pollution rules for cars and trucks than the federal standards. A cavalcade of legal action on other issues is also expected to play out this year as environmental groups attempt to strike down the Trumpian rollbacks. However, unlike many other areas of life, any sort of delay is almost as harmful as active worsening. With the world's climate swiftly heating up to an unbearable point for many Americans who are already facing cleaning and punishing hurricanes, rising seas, and apocalyptic fires. The world is changing. The climate is intensifying. At the same time, the organization of our administration has been removing anything that restricts any kind of control that might be laid against it. So you notice that this article that we're looking at today has taken a look at some of the changes in just 2 years. Now that's an incredibly fast change. The environment, the judges, the economy, so many changes have been taking place. And not only the environment, not only foreign policy, not only the economy, but also the way that the government works. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that the three parts of our government, the legislative, the judiciary, and also the executive branch, were created by the founders to be equal branches of government, equally strong, equally and level in their approach to running this country. Notice that since the president has been in office, the executive has taken control pretty much of everything that happens in every other area. So that they have been, as we just read in that article, appointed a number of judges who are conservative and who will go along with anything that they ultimately put forward as a stipulation or a change. They have also been able to shift the power of the legislative, so that you notice that when the president says something, the Senate and even the House, because the House really doesn't have total control of the legislature, because the Republicans have control of the Senate, anything that the president puts forward, McConnell and the Senate goes along with that. So you see the rise of the executive over the legislative and total control of the judiciary. This is a definite change that leads into the future. A future that is controlled by the executive or by those who have a particular kind of agenda for this nation. You and I must understand that this is the first step. Next, we will find ourselves moving through the avenue of the autocracy or the dictatorship to a place where has already been defined by many researchers as a place of theocracy, which means that you and I are seeing the total fulfillment of everything that God has told us will come to pass. So today, again, just looking around us in the year 2019, we are seeing the fulfillment of the Word of God, which means that His warnings apply to us. We must be prepared for what is coming so that we might walk and stand according to His will. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for all that You continue to do for us. We are grateful for the opportunities that You allow for us to experience in our lives. We ask that You would give us the strength today to stand with You and for You, and to give our lives over to You entirely, so that the changes that are necessary to be made within might be made according to Your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, May the 31st, 2019.